Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are again for another revisionist report on this Monday morning, August 23rd. And not Monday morning, excuse me, Tuesday morning. My name is Carolyn Yeager. I'm your host. And the call-in number for this program today is 1-800-313-9443. I was talking about Adolf Hitler's sex life yesterday. Not that I know anything about it, really, but what has been written about it. And because a caller had brought it up on Monday, and it's I got a few emails about it, so it's obviously of interest to people. Now, I'm going to add a little bit that I didn't get to yesterday to finish it off, because I think it was one of the better proofs, you might say, of how it worked out and of how it actually, what kind of a, what the relationship between Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun was. This comes again from Heinz Linke's book, With Hitler to the End. Heinz Linke was his valet, and I was really using material from Krista Schroeder's book and Heinz Linke's book yesterday. She was his secretary, and he was his valet. He was the one of the closest people to Adolf Hitler, and his job was to be with Hitler as a kind of a personal aide all the time. You know, he traveled with him. In pictures you often see him there as they're walking around, or Hitler's standing around talking to this or that person. There's Heinz right behind him or close to him. So he says on page 4142, as to the fact that he gave Eva Braun the love of which he was capable, there is no doubt. In 1936, he says, as her diary proves, but of which I had no knowledge at the time, she complained bitterly that Hitler only loved her when they were in bed together. Now, I think that's pretty telling. If these are authentic diaries, which people seem to think they are, and if she wrote in her diary, and it's known that in her diary, those who have read it, I haven't, just, you know, what I've read in other places about it, that that she often complained to herself, you know, in her diary, feeling sorry for herself, that she didn't see enough of him, that she didn't really always get what she wanted. But she now said that, I imagine more than once, that Hitler only loved her when they were in bed together. So though that's typical of a woman. I'm a woman, so I know, you know, you find fault with the man that you're in love with, that he doesn't love you quite in the way you want him to. This is very typical. You get into moods like that. But the fact that she said that, and then we're to believe that she told her hairdresser that she never had any sex with Hitler, that it was all a facade, and she lied to her diary. This doesn't make any sense in my mind. And one of the reasons that the relationship between she and Adolf Hitler lasted and was looked like it was going to last, if they had both lived and if things had not turned out the way they did, that was because he found her trustworthy, that she knew she had to keep, you know, she had to be loyal. And she would not have been blabbing to a hairdresser, something like that. I do not believe. She wasn't a dip head. She was an intelligent woman, although not particularly educated, you know. All right.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I have got a caller already. I'm going to take him because the last week I was kind of complaining that I didn't have any callers. So now when I have one, let's see what Anthony has to say. Anthony from Michigan, how are you doing today?
How you doing, Carolyn? I've been listening to your show ever since you first came on, and I generally enjoy it. But I get the impression that I think you've said it a few times that you kind of admire Hitler, which I mean, that's not a problem with that. But my question for you is, do you think that Germany was on the right side of the war, and do you wish that they had won the war?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I wonder why nobody ever calls me puts up a challenge to what I'm saying very often. You know, very seldom. I've had very few of those. So I'm glad you're doing it. It's not whether Germany was on the right or wrong side of the war. It was Germany's, war. I mean, it wasn't Germany didn't cause the war, but it was, the war involved, Germany couldn't avoid the war, but it was whether the United States was on the right side of the war. And my question is the United States was not on the right side of the war and should have stayed out.
All right. And then there's another comment you made about 2 weeks ago. You said something about dark-skinned men seducing white women or something like that, which could you clarify that a little bit? Because I'm not sure where you were going with that.
Oh, well, I kind of remember that now. I think we were talking about, I think when I said dark-skinned, I was, well, it was a combination between going from black men. We were talking about black men seducing. A caller said that black men were very good at seducing white women, and that was Paul, I believe, now. And he said that that it was because they had been deprived or they didn't have much going for them, much opportunity, so they became good at seduction. And then I said that I thought dark-skinned men, and I didn't know what else to call them, were much better at seduction than Northern European men, or the lighter, the more north you go, the less they are in, you know, talented in, you might say, lovemaking and seduction and so on. Although that doesn't mean there wouldn't be exceptions. I don't want to accuse Northern European men of not being good at that, but they're not quite the same. And I'm thinking, and then I mentioned Latino men, and I mentioned Italian and Spanish, said they're better and at being seducers. And I don't mean that in the worst way. You know, they are very, they can be romantic, and they can make a woman believe that they really care for her a lot more convincingly and better. They're just better at it than Northern European men. And I do think that's true.
And my last question is, I've listened to many other hosts and read other books. And the impression that I get is that the, you know, you can call them the Illuminati or whatever, that they actually funded Hitler and put him in power. So I kind of find
that. Well, who are you listening to, Anthony? I don't agree with that at all. And I've said that, and I'm on the record on that in several places. But and I know that these ideas are very rather widespread, but there's a certain mindset. Now, how do you defend all this, and why is it what is it that you have against Hitler and that period in Germany, apart from just what is known in our official histories, that we're supposed to see that them all as bad and wrong? Well, I mean, where are you coming from?
Well, you and I have spoken about this once before, and that our history books don't necessarily tell us many of the things that you have spoke about. So what you're telling me and what I've heard from other hosts on GCN and Republic is something that I'm hearing for the first time. So
good, 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 good. And you seem to be quite open about it, or at least willing to talk about it, which is better than some.
If what I've been told is a lie, then, you know, I'd rather know what actually happened than continue to believe the lie.
Well, you know, I try to deal in facts. There's no question that I have formed opinions of my own, you know, over time. And so I do, you know, you can't cover up your opinions or your beliefs, you know, and what you think is right or wrong, who is good, who is bad, and so on. So I, you know, I'm not totally objective. But I do try to stick with facts. And so, you know, I just have to have more, I have to have something to argue against if you want to talk about this, because you have to know, you know, what you believe or what you'd like to know, or you're asking me what I think and I'm telling you, but it doesn't carry a lot of weight because we're not getting into a more factual basis of it, which I can give you something. I was coming up to a book about a life of Hitler that I was going to briefly mention that a listener sent to me yesterday after listening to the program, and I looked at it. I'll go ahead and say that while you're on, and then we'll see if that leads to anything further. I was going to say that people don't have an accurate picture of Adolf Hitler, and because historians haven't given one. And so it's very hard to know who he really was and what he was really doing. Now, and then I said a listener, Jerry from Texas, wrote to me yesterday, and he recommended A Life of Hitler that's available online, something I've never seen. And you can access it, everybody can, at www.smoter.com, smoter.com. That's easy. You can also add a /hitler.htm after it and go straight to the Hitler book. But if you just go to the smoter.com, you'll see the three books that this man has written. And it's very strange because one is A Life of Hitler, the other is A Real Estate Guide, and the other one is something about a dam in the United States, the story of a dam that was built and something. I didn't look into that, but totally different, three totally different, unrelated books. And this Making of a Fuhrer that he wrote, he said, between the years 1986 and 1996, or he either that or he wrote all three books during that period of time. Anyway, it's 310 pages, footnoted. It's all there online. It's a historical biography about the young Adolf Hitler and the pre-Nazi era, including a detailed account of Hitler's service in World War One. Well, it goes into his the early building of the party, I think, but it doesn't go into any part after he became chancellor. And I thought, well, what is this? And he had really highly recommended it, said it was the first book he ever read about Hitler, and he liked it. It just attracted him so much he couldn't quit reading it until he finished it. So I looked at two parts of it to see, you know, what impression I would get, and I got a very good impression of it. It's not only accurate, it's really detailed, and because it's a long book and it covers only part of Hitler's life, you know, before he became chancellor. So you know, and it fits with the two parts that I looked at, and one was when he came back from the war in Munich. And there's a lot of controversy about, you know, him being associated with the Bolshevik or with the communists who had were taking over Munich and so on. There's a lot of controversy about that. And as I read what he wrote there, he gives every kind of research he's gone into. And it pretty much agrees with the research that I've looked at. So I'm going to recommend this book, although I can't recommend it completely because I haven't read it. I only read these two little parts of it. But you might want to look at that because it is available online, as you can go and read it whenever you feel like it and see what it says. So that's what I think. I think that if you're just listening to radio networks, even RBN, well, you're going to hear a lot of things from different hosts that are their opinions, just like you're going to hear some opinions from me. So you really need to go and do some reading, and it's hard to find things. I would not recommend, I'm going on and on here, but I would not recommend reading biographies of Hitler written by British historians. I really wouldn't. They have got a built-in bias. Now, this man appears to be perhaps an American of German descent. But he is obvious. He has clearly done a lot of research. So what, do you have any comment on that, Anthony?
No, that's pretty much all I had. I will continue to listen, and if you say something else, I'll call in and we'll talk about it some more.
Okay, now, do you like to listen? I mean, do you not really want to read very much?
Yes, I love reading. Actually, I'm studying for a professional exam, so that kind of is hampering
Yeah, well, I understand. You're a student. Yeah, I mean, you're doing other studying. Well, it's hard to find time for the kind of reading that really needs to be done to get very educated in any particular area. So, well, I thank you for your call then, Anthony.
Sure, you're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I did cover now what I was going to say about this book that's online, and I would recommend anybody to take a look at it if they want. And let me know if anybody is already aware of it. Call in and let me know what you think of it. And if you do start reading it, you can call in at another time and let us know what you think of it. Let's see. We're going to a break in very shortly. When we come back, I'm going to read a letter that Eberhard Forer wrote to the Wall Street Journal. And I just received it yesterday or the day before. And Eberhard was my guest the week before last. And I think this is very important. So we'll take care of that when we get back from this break.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit freetoprosper.com right now.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and as I said, I'm going to read this letter from Eberhard Fuhrer. Let me say again the call-in number, which was 1-800-313-9443. And if you listen to, I had Eberhard as a guest on 2 days, I think it was on a Monday and Tuesday, not last week, but the week before, and he's an excellent guest because his story is so interesting. And now I have here a letter that he has written to the Wall Street Journal. And it's about, obviously, an article that they ran about this Heart Mountain Japanese internment camp, which we discussed when he was on. And the he, of course, was interned as a German in the United States for 4 years of his young life, 4.5 years, almost 5 years. Now I will just read and comment as I go along. Dear editor, Miss Simon does a great job in recording the Heart Mountain Japanese internment camp, but the Wall Street Journal never discusses the arrest of over 60,000 Germans, several thousand Italians, and about 10,000 Germans brought for internment in the U.S. from Central and South America. So we're talking about, maybe close to 70,000 people that are totally forgotten about. Now, that's my comment. Now, back to his letter. Our narrative is not financed by the Park Service or any other U.S. agency, as is the Japanese story, nor are the internment compounds being restored at government expense, even when Japanese were interned within the very same fences. He is making the point here that the camps and compounds and so on that were totally Japanese are discussed, are being restored, or are being used as memorials, or are in the history books. But if the camps where the Japanese were interned along with the Germans and Italians, if the Germans and Italians were there with them in those camps. And those camps are, they won't talk about those, even though there are Japanese there too. You know, isn't that interesting how they do this? Back to Eberhard's letter, there are significant differences between their internment and ours. German and Italian merchant mariners were interned long before Pearl Harbor attacks. Europeans, including Romanian and others in the Axis bloc, were promptly interned on the Day of Infamy. That is, of course, the Pearl Harbor attack day, December 7th, was it, 1941. So the Europeans, including Romanians and anyone who was a part of the Axis bloc, were interned on that day. And before the Pearl Harbor attack day, they were already interning German and Italian merchant mariners. Now, we know that the United States was, this is not Eberhard's letter. We know that the United States was calling itself neutral, but was carrying out war in behalf of the British in the Atlantic, with the Navy and doing all kinds of things. So they saw they were stopping merchant marines, German and Italian merchant mariners, and taking over the boats, the ships, and interning the crew, even before Pearl Harbor. So they were carrying out they were on the side. They were not neutral. They were partial, and they were saw themselves at war with Germany already. So going on with Eberhard's letter, the Heart Mountain Report. That is the report in the Wall Street Journal, notes that the inmates, or maybe what the Heart Mountain puts out for their PR information, notes that the inmates could interact with the surrounding community. That is, at Heart Mountain, in that internment camp, the inmates could actually interact with the community around them. In what way, I don't know, but that's what he's saying. But he says that once we were interned, the fences were inviolate. 4,000 Japanese went to college. Also, none of us were permitted that. You know, they gave a lot of benefits to the Japanese afterwards to help them. Of course, nothing like that was done for the Germans and the Italians. Then he writes, there were prisoner exchanges with Germany arranged by the Protecting Powers Switzerland. That's an organization with that name, I guess, using Swedish vessels, exchanging German civilian internees for wounded U.S. airmen, as there were none, if any, U.S. civilian citizens interned by Germany to effectuate exchanges. Now, let's look at this paragraph. Switzerland and Sweden were neutral, and so they were used by the United States to make these, and Germany, to make these prisoner exchanges with, and what they did, they exchanged German civilian internees that were interned in the U.S. that had been living, that were in living in the U.S. for wounded airmen that were in Germany, because there were not any U.S. civilian citizens interned by Germany during that time. So the United States was interning Germans, but Germany was never interning Americans. They never did. All right, well, it's time to take the break, and I will continue with this when we get back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm reading a letter to the editor of the Wall Street Journal written by Eberhard Fuhrer just a couple days ago. And in response to an article that they ran on the Heart Mountain, there's somebody in the background. But anyway, the Heart Mountain internment camp for the Japanese, which has been, it's being made into a memorial, similar to Auschwitz in Poland, that type of memorial. Now, he goes on to say that virtually all Japanese were released even before VJ Day. So they knew, you know, they of course knew by then that the Japanese were in Japan, that Japan was no longer a threat. You know, they were on their last legs and they were trying to surrender, as we have learned since then. And they were, but the United States appears to have wanted to use their A-bomb to see how it worked and didn't want to work out any surrender with the Japanese. But in any event, whatever the reason for that, they were released, all of them, before VJ Day, whereas the last German internees were not released until the end of 1948, 3 years after after Germany's surrender. And Germany was certainly no threat. I mean, they were really demolished. And they were released from Ellis Island, which Eberhard adds that an independent commission declared it unfit for human habitation. Now, there were countless, he then says, there were countless deportations to Germany, which included their U.S.-born children. So they did deport a lot of these Germans to back to Germany. And when they did so, they sent their U.S.-born children, who were, according to the law, you know, U.S. citizens, with them. And also, hundreds of naturalized U.S. citizens, Germans who had become citizens through the process of naturalization, were denaturalized and then interned. And I don't believe they did that to any of the Japanese. Now, this is where we ask ourselves, this seems to be a small thing to many people. Well, this wasn't even 100,000 people, and this happens during wartime, and, you can understand the panic and so on. But you can't understand the difference between the treatment of the Japanese and the Germans, and you can't understand the way it has continued, and they refuse to recognize it. Now, Eberhard says, neither the Wall Street Journal nor the press in general dares to report about the internment of Europeans, which lasted for 8 years. Is that story embargoed? He asks. Are you forbidden to write it? He asks the Wall Street Journal, or do you merely choose not to? Well, he won't get an answer from them. Although maybe the author of the article will feel like he should answer this man, because he signs his letter and he ends up saying that he'd be happy to provide his personal internment saga from the age of 17 to 22, all the time that he was interned in Crystal City, where half the compound was Japanese and half was German, and they had one Italian family from Honduras. But the U.S. government or the Park Service or anything like that will have anything to do with memorializing that place or talking about it. And he also puts in his he has a little bit more in his letter, but I'm not going to go into that because I think I've said enough on that. Okay, now I promised you. I said yesterday that I would be talking about today about the commemoration that has recently taken place in Germany for the 50th anniversary of the erection of the Berlin Wall. And, of course, that's a big thing for Germans, that division of their country between the Western allies and the Soviet Union. A little bit after the war ended, and how the Soviet zone became more and more alienated from the Western zone until finally they built a wall because people from the East were going to the West because they didn't want to be under the communist rule any longer. And even though the West was not very good by 1950 or so, it was improved. For the German people anyway, through their own efforts and labors. But anyway, what was interesting during this commemoration was we see the contrast between the way the left is treated in Germany today and has been for, ever since the Third Reich was defeated, and the way the right is treated, where the right, of course, has been outlawed completely, and what they call the right, they have parties, and Angela Merkel's party, the CDU, Christian Democratic Union, is considered right. They call it center right, but that's as far right as they want to go. Well, that is more what we call a sort of left, or at least center left party, because it's okay with immigration. And it's okay with everything that we would consider like the Democratic Party in the United States, or even, I suppose it'd be somewhat similar to that. So that's what they call right. And anything more than that, they'll call extreme right and far right. And, they consider dangerous. Now, what happened in Germany was that they were having these commemoration events. And at one of them, not in Berlin, but somewhere outside of Berlin, some of the members of this far left party, which really is far left, it's called Die Linke, which means the left, which used to be the Communist Party in East Germany. It was the Communist Party, and when the East and West merged together again, that party stayed intact but renamed itself the left, and it's acceptable in Germany. They don't have, the media has no problem with it, but they refuse to stand up when the names of the victims of the wall, those who died trying to escape from east to west, there were about 100 or so, and they were talking about those victims, and everybody stood, but these far left people refused to stand. And then they wrote in their newspaper, they have a far left daily newspaper called Junge Welt, Young World, which is a national daily, and it can be found on most newsstands. They wrote that they big headlines. We wanted to, and then the story read, "We'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you." I think the headline was like, "Thank you, to whoever they were thanking." They were actually thanking the people who built the wall. They were thanking the wall. And they said, "We want to say thank you." And they listed 13 reasons why the Berlin Wall, which actually wasn't built until 1961. So you can see that a lot of time had passed before they really hardened this position between East and West. Was a good thing. And they, amongst those things that were good were 28 years of securing peace in Europe. They said the wall helped to stop the situation could have turned into war, nuclear war, but because they built that wall, that solved that problem. 28 years without German soldiers taking part in wars, and 28 years of child care provision through kindergartens, stuff like that, you know. So, and now this, it did shock the rest of the left. They don't like that because this is going to, you know, this is not going to go over well with the German people. So the German Social Democrats put out a warning that this hardline socialist left party would be rejected as state coalition partners with them unless they condemn the building of the Berlin Wall instead of saying it was a good thing. Well, now the Social Democrats used this far left Communist Party as a part of their coalition government because nobody has a majority in Germany or in most European countries. They have to, the largest party that gets the most votes has to usually add a couple other parties, at least one, to give themselves enough seats to have the majority in parliament. So then they have these coalition governments. And the Social Democrats have been using the left party, along with some other left-wing parties that aren't quite as far left, for their coalition partners. So it's an interesting hullabaloo that went on because usually nothing like this ever happens on the left. But whenever anything happens on the right, we really, really hear about it. And one thing that happened on the right, I don't know where I put that, but one thing that happened on the right was that the leader of the NPD, Udo Voigt, put out a poster. Now, the NPD is the National Party of Germany, something like that, and they're the ones who are called the Nazis. That is considered the most far right party, and because they are anti-immigrant, and they want to go back to certain what we would consider. A lot of Republicans hold views like this, not all of them. So they're not extremists, but they're portrayed as extremists. And he created a political poster that was translated as "Step on the Gas." And there's a picture of him. He's a motorcyclist on his motorcycle. He's a nice looking man, you know, a man like in his 50s or probably in his 60s. But he's wearing a black leather jacket, just like motorcyclists do. That's common in Europe. You know, there's nothing threatening about it. And he, for his political poster, because he's running for office, and a lot of members of his party are running for office. And this is the party that the German establishment is now calling to ban once again. They tried to do it before, and the left and the SPD, the Social Democrats and this left party, are very much in the forefront of attacking all the time the NPD, and now they're saying it should be banned altogether, as though the government is supposed to determine what parties are allowed and what parties aren't. So it's even against the laws in Germany, the constitution, what they call their constitution. But they go out with this, and the things that they say about this poster, because they use the word gas, I mean, they attach it to the Holocaust, and they say, well, you know, this is just shocking. He's referring to, you know, Hitler and gassing the Jews and this, you know, nonsensical stuff. You can't say anything in Germany if you're on the right without they examine the words that you use, and then they say, oh, you're referring this, you know, you're referring to the Holocaust. This is incitement of the public because it's okaying the Holocaust, and you want another Holocaust because he says step on the gas. He's talking about his motorcycle. I think it's a very good campaign because he's saying, let's rev it up here and let's really, really push hard in these elections. And he's calling on those who are sympathetic to his party to do that. But, you know, they just corner you and control, you know, and try to attack you in any way that they can. I think this is interesting what we see here in what's going on in Germany. All right, we've got a call from Werner in New Brunswick. Hi, Werner.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You brought up some interesting points. And while earlier you mentioned about the wall and the Iron Curtain.
Yes.
I think the main reason why the Eastern Germany, why they built the Iron Curtain and the wall, it was to prevent the drain of young people, because they had educated them, and as soon as they became of age, they didn't want to stay there anymore. Basically, the communist regime that educated them put a lot of expenses in, and they couldn't afford the loss of so many young people. It was a big drain on their workforce, and they had to stop that.
Okay, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. Were you there then, Werner?
I was living over there in Germany at the time. And before that, you know, before the wall closed everything off there, the Berlin Wall and the fortification of the Iron Curtain, there were anywhere between 600 and 1,200 people were fleeing the West every day.
Oh, that is a huge
fleeing to the West every day from the communist Eastern Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it was way too much of a drain for the economy. They couldn't afford that anymore. And there was a kind of a joke going on around in Germany, like the East, they allowed pensioners to leave Eastern Germany because then they didn't have to pay the pensions anymore, you know? So
yeah.
The joke was, when will be the reunification of Germany? And it went this way when everybody turned 65.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of truth in that. That's exactly right. People would like to send their old folks somewhere else. They don't want to pay them. They want the young ones.
Yeah.
So if you have a real nationalist country, state, in which you care about your people, you care about the young, you care about the old, you care about everybody. People are not just economic tools, you know, which is what we have in the kind of world we have in today.
Yeah, but as I say, economics is a part of the reality. And as I said, the reality was the communist system in Eastern Germany, they could not afford that kind of a drain of working people.
Yeah, you can understand they can't let their young people, young educated people, run off somewhere else. This is another thing that's wrong, I think, in this world we have today, which is a kind of a borderless world, where a country like the United States attracts many, many educated, skilled people from third world countries, and they come here because there are opportunities for them, and then they put their effort out here, and their own country loses them. And I don't think this should not be so. If people would stay in their own countries after they've help to lift their countries and to work in their countries, to make whatever changes are fit with the culture of that country instead of going off to another one because they'll get more money. This is what's wrong. Well, stay on the line, Werner. We'll be back after this message from the sponsors.
Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. What are you thinking? If you're thinking preparedness, be at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, at the Downtown Expo Center. Learn how to grow your garden, drive down energy costs, survive inflation, prepare your home, and much more. Meet KWTO's instructors, Vincent Finelli and Mark Wright. Tickets only $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. Attend John Stadmiller's What's in Store for You and John Moore's Abrupt Climate Change and 35 other seminars at the next Get Prepared Expo. September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, Downtown Expo Center. Talk with pros on surviving, preparing, defending, and thriving. Grammy winner Steve Voss will perform live. Tickets just $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. RBN annual subscribers attend one day free. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last segment of our program, and Werner, are you still on the line? Did you have another comment?
Yeah. As I say, I followed your shows up there, most of it over the last while. And as you have explained, it's a time in Germany there when the National Socialism and Hitler rose to power. Those were extreme circumstances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in extreme circumstances, at times it takes extreme measures. But as soon as most of the problems are solved, then things should go back to normal. And this is where one aspect of the National Socialist Movement, became more and more oppressive.
How do you say that? Because it wasn't going on very long, and the German people were very, very happy, and things were going very well. But what became oppressive was that the warmongers were working to, right? Do you think so? What do you call oppressive?
Well, as I say, people couldn't speak out anymore, you know, and it was, and I noticed the same thing when I went back in 1973 back to Germany after I had been, I'd come over in 69, and in 1973 when I went back to Germany, my dad had passed away, and there was like a dark cloud was over the people. Nobody wanted to speak out anymore freely what they were doing a few years earlier.
All right, so that happens. That's happening under the Social Democrats, right?
Social Democrat or CDU. I don't remember now who was in power at the time, but they all basically they marched in lockstep. You know.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, this brings up. I'm glad you said this because I did a program last night, and somebody, the guest, said something that has been sticking in my mind since. And he is very familiar with Germany. Calls himself a Germanist, a Germanophile, and he speaks German, but he doesn't live in Germany. He's not a German like you. But he said that Germany, the whole continent of Europe, has never had this free speech concept the way that Britain had it. And then, of course, we in the United States have it, and then Canada got it, too, from Britain, and then Australia. So, but the continent of Europe, he said, has always been more... they've always been kind of more under a stricter control different kind of laws where they weren't in the habit and they didn't expect to and they weren't necessarily allowed to just say whatever they wanted to say. So do you agree with this? This is a kind of a different tradition. You know, you've been in the U.S. or in Canada for a while, so.
As I say, when I came over, I was in my late 20s, and years earlier, I belonged to different groups like the German version of the 4-H, and we had very lively political discussions and so, you know, and I didn't get the impression that we were being muzzled.
I don't think in the Third Reich that people were being muzzled, you know, even in the camps. They organized little study groups, and even those that were Zionist and communist and so on, and nationalist of other nations, and they were freely talked about these things. Nobody was stopping them.
Well, as I say, what I understood from what my parents told me, you had to be careful what you told and to whom you told it.
Well, okay, we're going to go into this a little bit tomorrow because I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think I think that's true in a lot of ways. And I think that might lead to some other discussion that we might have on this.
As I say, so, we shall learn from the past and right now what's happening around the world and the involvement of NATO.
Okay, well, we're going to have to go, Werner. Come back tomorrow, everyone.